Last week, we were discussing a little bit about some of the definitions, some of the parameters of Davar Aved. You know, the Davar Aved is of course accepted by everybody, but some of the limitations of Davar Aved, some of the definitions of Davar Aved are still somewhat questionable. We saw a little bit last week what the status of the Sufik Davar Aved is, how this impacts people in Sufik in general. We spoke a little bit about just with dollars and cents, how do you define whether something is a Davar Aved of a Hefsid Merubah, Hefsid Muat, does it really make a difference in Halacha? Now I move on to a question concerning Davar Aved, which is probably the most relevant Lamaisa question in terms of Davar Aved. And that's the issue that's raised in the sixth of the Mamakamos. That page by the Shari Tshuva, Narachayim, and Simon Tafu Flamazayan. The Shari Tshuva quotes the concept of Berkei Yosef, B'Shem Arav, Provitzal. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but the Tshuva Ksaviyad. What is the status of printing svarim as a publishing house? Who wants to keep the publishing house open on Chol HaMoed? Is that mutter or not? So, why should that be mutter? What's the habit of that should be mutter? What's the davar aved? What will happen? You close the publishing house for a couple of days. Says, no, here's the problem. Av sheyesh lo po'olim, she pasuk lam scharim kavua. Beinim yelo po'ula, beinim lo yelo. Said, the guy has workers. The guy hired workers. He hired workers for the whole year, not necessarily Jewish workers. So he's got to pay their salary no matter what. So if he keeps the store open, if he keeps the publishing house open, then he'll make money, he'll publish Sarim, he'll be able to offset his cost that he has of keeping paying his workers. But if he closes up shop for a week, his bills are still going to come in, so he still has to pay his workers. So can we argue that that's called the Davar Aved? Because he's losing something. He's losing he's to pay a guy to do nothing for you. So I'm not Davar Aved got him his own. So says the Shari Tshuva, no, well, mikre Davar Aved, that's not considered to be Davar Aved, b'shvil shem abed tchad po'olev, just because he's losing his salary for no reason, that doesn't constitute a Davar Aved. He says, nothing happening to the work itself. That means it's not like your paper's getting ruined. It's not like your ink is getting ruined. Not like your equipment getting ruined. Nothing's happening to the cheft itself. It's a davar aved minatzad. It's a davar aved, which is a tangential davar aved. A tangential davar aved doesn't qualify as a davar aved.
Let's say we turn the tables, and these are for the M workers. And if they don't work on Chol HaMoed, they don't get paid. And some of them are frum, and some of them are not frum, and some are Jewish, and some are not Jewish. Do we have to...
Okay, so we have to talk a little bit later on, not really in this sugya, about the sugya Paul Ani. Means if you have a Jewish worker who's working for you, and I want to pay him on Chol HaMoed so that he should have money in order to buy himself food for Chol HaMoed, is that also considered to be a davar aved? That's really a different angle.
Or goyim mishum darkei shalom. Don't want to say, hey guys, I can pay you off this week and I'll pay you.
I pay him.
No.
Tell him to stay home and pay him. That's the shayla. So that's what the Shari Tshuva says. That's what you got to do. So the Shari Tshuva, you have to pay the guy. You sign a contract, you're going to pay him. So.
No, but they don't sign it. You have usually per diem workers. But it's Rachmanis there for weeks, not day yet.
The Shari Tshuva says, so pay him. If you want to be a nice guy and pay him, so pay him. But you can't keep the factory open in order because you have a cheshbon with a davar aved.
Why isn't the salary already, not the family has a salary of a davar kavua, sort of like a field that requires, you know, to, in other words, it's a fixed
course,
not like...
Oh, you're a chavit of Shomazam. Okay, we're going to get to that star in a minute. So the Shari Tshuva quotes the Berkei Yosef, these are Chavronim who say it. Does not Davar Aved finish? End of discussion. This is not considered to be Davar Aved. And the Svar why it's not considered to be Davar Aved is because it's tangential. It's not the defus atzma, but it's something which is tangential that doesn't qualify as Davar Aved. So it's on the Marakom to the Yerach HaShulchan, it's not printed out, Yerach HaShulchan disagrees. Yerach HaShulchan describes the case of a factory, and he says it's also called a Davar Aved. He says, where does it say? Vishtait, the Salah HaMashtim, that Davar Aved has to be the object itself, has to be a Davar Aved. But at the end of the day, Yochas Chol HaMoed is costing me a loss. Not just I'm not making a profit, it's costing me a loss. I'm in the red, I gotta pay $10,000 what the salary is, and nothing to show for it. So that's considered to be a Davar Aved. What's the issue? Why is it the Yerach HaShulchan claims that is a Davar Aved in contrast to these earlier Achronim? So the Chora, I think there's a throwback to what we spoke about last week. Namely, why is Davar Aved Mutter? What's the nature of the Heter of Davar Aved? So we were big believers of that Ritva. We dug up a Ritva and I cut them, and we thought that was the answer to the whole sugya of Davar Aved. The Ritva says that Davar Aved is not based on the fact that it's Tam Hefsed and that Torah Chasam and Manasseh Yisrael and Torah wants us to be concerned with our monetary losses. No, it's much deeper than that, says the Ritva. The whole Yisoid of Davar Aved is predicated on the premise that the heter of Malacha on Chol HaMoed is in order to enhance the Yom Tov. all the categories that we find in Hilchos Chalamoy that are mutter, first and foremost, so you have Tzorach Hayom. So Tzorach Hayom, if it's a Maisa Hed Yod, is going to be mutter. Things of that nature, which generally enhance the Yotiv, the Torah, the Chum never prohibited in the first place. So the Rizvah, the Chiddush, the psychological Tzorach is also called the Tzorach. The fact that the guy's going to be sitting in the Beis Medrash and nervous about the fact that his field is getting ruined. So Ein Lecha Menias Simchas Yotiv Gadol Mizeh. That's what we said last week. That's what we thought, that even Suffolk, Davar of it is mutter. Because people get nervous in Suffolk also. People are worried about their money. Even if tell a guy in Chalamay, there's a 50% chance you may lose $10 million, he's also going to be pretty upset. So that's called also a bitl of Simchas Yotiv. So the Chol recorded in Erech HaShulchan that the Yesod HaDavar, the parameter of Davar of it, is really a Menias Simchas Yotiv. How can you split such hairs up in this? Well, if the Hefzit is coming, Nikoyach, the object, the Hefz itself, that's called the Davar Avid. If the Hefzit is coming, Mitzat, something tangential, that's not called the Davar Avid. Rabbi, in the end of the day, in my checkbook, there's going to be a big minus $10,000. I have to pay my polem. So who cares whether the fact that I'm losing the money is because the paper itself got ruined, or because I have to pay the polem or not being able to work. At the end of the day, I'm losing money. So Lechor, according to the Ritva, who understood the Heter of Davar Avid as a function psychological of the Malabas, psychologically being upset about it, so then to split hairs like the Shari Tshuva, that only if it's an intrinsic Davar Avid, not an external Davar Avid, Lechor, that should not be correct. So that's the Pashtus in the Erech HaShulchan. So according to what we said last week, that we really like that Ritva, so Lechor, the Erech HaShulchan should be the corollary of that Ritva. So the evidence is how Rav Moshe Paskin, so if anyone has a chance to have that Sefer Hilchos Chalamoed, a very wonderful Sefer that was put out about 25, 30 years ago or so, by, at the time there were two fellows in the Kollel, they were learning in the Kollel in Chicago, Rabbi Zuck and Rabbi Francis, two fellows from Lakewood. So they put out the Sefer, and then subsequently they became Hirschko, you know, Chicago. So one of them is Rosh Kol now, one of them is something, I forgot which is which. But they're both still in Chicago, and they revamped the Sefer a couple of years ago. They redid it a little bit, to put it in nice at first again. So it's an excellent Sefer Chalma, a really, really wonderful Sefer. So besides the Sefer's written in English, it gives really, really Lamais and stuff about Chalamayit, they have a lot of sucker from Ramayish in the back, and from other Gedolim. Also, they have a lot of things that the specific case that Ramayish was down on about Chalamayit. So Ramayish was down about the Shiloh. So here's Ramayish, what's the din? This Shiloh, when you have a guy in the factory, has a business, he's got to pay his workers, and the contract's got to pay his workers, and he has to give them the pay days off if he's going to close the business. So comes the Moshe and says, he thinks the Erech HaShulchan is right, that a person doesn't have to close the business, he can keep the business open on Chol HaMoed, so that enables him to pay the workers. So Rav Shlomo Zalman disagreed with this, I think, if I'm not mistaken, in Mar Mochum 9, in Hilchos Chol HaMoed, he quotes Rav Shlomo Zalman, who disagreed, Mamash Henry Svar, Mamash Rav Mechaver, Rav Shlomo, I guess, hanging out in near Bechetz Tagroi, after enough time in Rav. So comes Rav Shlomo Zalman, he says, no. He says, there's a concept, I guess this you know more about it than me, it's called fixed expenses. It means I make a cheshbon, bein v'yeah, whenever my financial year begins, January 1st, what I'm going to say. So January 1st, I get my accountant in here, we tally up, nobody knows exactly what it's going to be, but I have a pretty good idea what my expense, a pretty idea what my budget's going to be. I know I have to pay, I own a factory, so I have certain expenses. I have to pay for electricity, I got to pay for heating, I got to pay, let's say I have to feed my workers, I have to pay for whatever my taxes, whatever it is. I make a cheshbon approximately what my ins and what's going to cost me during the course of the year. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, a planned expense? That's not a Davar Avid. Davar Avid means something out of the ordinary happens. Something I couldn't have seen meirosh. A guy has a field, and he thinks everything is great. He thinks that crops are everything is growing properly. And then all of a sudden, there's a drought. All of a sudden, the crops are dying, and he's got to irrigate the field quickly. That's mashkin beisachlof, and that's bebeizim ralfin v'kota. That's a Davar Avid, but its very nature is something that cannot be planned. If you're planning a Davar Avid, that's a Megal, that's not a Davar Avid. Remember, I always give the mushel, I remember, when my grandma, Shalom, so she used to, she used to have someone, a lady of her life, someone who would, a woman who would come, who would live with her, would take care of her. So every once in a while, the woman didn't want to show up, so she wasn't that advanced in terms of giving excuses. So one time, remember, she called up and she said, "Zal Loshen," that she's not going to be able to come tomorrow because she's planning on having an emergency. That was a Loshen, planned emergency. So that's what Rav Shlomo Zalman says, a steer b'nei obey. As those things are planned over of it. So says Rav Shlomo Zalman, You have to close your store on Shabbos. You have to close your store on Yandav. You have to serve kosher food. So one of the expenses of being a religious person is to close your store on Kalamayin, close your business on Kalamayin. You can't turn around and cry later and say, no, I'm closing my store, so that's costing me money because I have to pay my workers. Yeah, that's part of our religion, is that you have to close your store on Kalamayin. So that's an interesting chiluk that Rosh Hashanah is suggesting.
Yeah, it's interesting the chiluk. You look at it, Bain Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz, how Rav Moshe viewed, you know, a worker's responsibility in day to day, and Rav Shlomo Zalman from Eretz Yisrael. I think there's a...
I mean, it's a reflection of a, maybe it depends on the setup, I don't know, maybe. So it is that we have really two different objections to applying the principle of Dover Oven in our sugya. So we have the objection number one of the Shari Tshuva, it's an external Dover Oven, and by definition that's not called a Dover Oven. And now we have Shlomo Zalman's tie to that. Nothing to do with external as internal. It's a planned Dover Oven. Dover Oven, by the very definition, has to be spontaneous Dover Oven. So you have two different ha'aris from Achronim as to why to question whether this falls under the category of Dover Oven or not.
When the issue with regard to planned or not, well, an example is that you gave is what if a person has a field and is living in a climate where the people tell them it's got to be watered every day, so it's got a planned emergency. Would it be mutter then?
Yeah, then the chara will be mutter because here it's out of your control. Here,
but it's not planned. It's something that he knows before.
Right. That may touch on the next thing. Mechavim lachta b'moed. If you can avoid doing it, let's say by irrigating it erev yontif, then he's mechuruf to do so. If he doesn't do it, then we're talking again aser. He's mitiyevin. But I think that would probably be different than Shlomo Zalman's case.
And also, what the owner himself is not doing the malach of the
farm. Right, but Amir Yaakov is having the workers do work on his behalf. So that's also a problem. Amir Yaakov is in Israel and Chalamod also. That would also be a problem. Is there enough Kamina Ladina between the two different objections to the schools? Again, on the one hand, we have the Chashokan and Moshe, who will make it straight out that you can have your factories open if otherwise it's going to cost you money to pay your workers. And we have the Shari Tshuva, who is opposed to it because it's an external Dover Oven. And we have Shlomo Zalman, who is opposed to it because it's part of your planned expenses. Is there enough Kamina Ladina between the Shari Tshuva's objection and Shlomo Zalman's objection? So I think there's an important enough Kamina, not in Hukos Chalamoy, but in a parallel area of halacha, and that's in terms of Hukos Avelos. We know that the sugyas in Moikotan make a lot of comparisons between Hukos Chalamoy and Hukos Avelos. In fact, the two themes in the Masechta of Moikotan are in fact Avelos and Chalamoy, because there are certain parallels between them. So there is a whole sugya in the second parak of Moikotan about the status of Dover Aved for an Aval. We know normally an Aval is not allowed to do Malacha. The fact that Chagechem Aegel is an Isser for an Aval to be involved in Malacha during the whole week of Shiva, just as an Aval himself is not allowed to work, he's not supposed to have other people working for him as well. What is the status of Dover Aved? Can an Aval do something which is a Dover Aved or not? Here the Gemara quotes a Machlekes HaTanoim. So we basically pass in as follows. We pass in that an Aval is permitted to do a Dover Aved Ayde Acherim. It means he could have somebody else do the Dover Aved for him. So let's say the Aval, for argument's sake, he has a field, and the field has to be irrigated, and it's an emergency, he's going to lose all his crops. So for him to go out himself and irrigate it, that he's not allowed to do. But to hire somebody else to do it for him, that would be mutter. That's what we pass in Shulchan Aruch, that a Dover Aved at the Echeim is mutter for an Aval. So there is a Machlekes, which is Pashas and Machlekes at Tanoim, Machlekes and Rishonim Halacha, as to how to understand this Halacha. Why is it that on the one hand, when it comes to Chalamayid, so Dover Aved is mutter, you're allowed to do Dover Aved even yourself, whereas when it comes to Hukos Avelos, we're hesitating, comes to Hukos Avelos, we will not let the Aved himself go out, put his overalls on, and go irrigate the field. Why is that? Why is Hukos Avelos more common than Hukos Chalamayid? So, apparently, one understanding is that that's the way it is, that the halachas are not always the same. There are certain chumras that one area of halacha may have than others. So Hukos Avelos, the issum halacha for an Aval is on a higher level of the issum halacha than Chalamoy. If you hold a Chalamoy, it's Darbanan, Avelos, Darbanan, everything's Darbanan, so then you can't really ask a kasha. You can't say, why is it one way plays in one way and the other plays in the other way? That's the way the halacha is. That's chum, that one area is more chumra. So therefore, in Hukos Avelos, we don't want to give you that cool of letting you do it yourself. That's one possibility. The second possibility is to say no. Hukos Avelos and Hukos Chalamoid are not necessarily different from one another. They're both examples of Isur Malacha, both probably Midir Rabbanan. They're Isur Malacha, and in both cases, Dover Aved really is Mutter. The only thing is, in Hukos Avelos, why do we have to let you do it yourself? we have an option in Hilchus Aveilos. The option is let somebody else, not the whole world, not sitting Shiva. In Hilchus Chalamayin, so again, assuming you're living in a Jewish society, so we're going to tell you the following kula. Irrigate your field, but don't do it yourself. Have somebody else do it for you. Who's going to do it for you? Your uncle, your neighbor's going to do it. The other Jew's going to do it. Why is his Yisr Chalamayin less than yours, Chalamayin? So when it comes to Hilchus Chalamayin, once we're mapped the Dover Aved, we can't make an arbitrary distinction and say that have somebody else do it. That would be absurd. But when it comes to Hilchus Aveilos, we can give you a kula Dover Aved, but say to you, you know what? You don't have to rely on the Kul Dover. It's a Shvacha Kul Dover. We don't really want to rely on Dover. We have no choice. So if you're able to have somebody else who's not an Ovel do it for you, Ma'atoyf. So my nefkamina, at the end of the day, the aloha is that in Hilchus Aveilos, so Dover Aved is basically Aser, unless it's done Ideh Acherim. So who cares whether we formulate it by saying that the reason why it's Aser to do it yourself is because it's more Chomer than Hilchus Chalamay, or whether we formulate the Issa by saying that it's also because you have an efshar, you have the possibility to do it through somebody else. So the answer is very simple. What if you have a situation of davar avid arises for an avil, and there's no way to give it over to somebody else. There's nobody knows how to do it like he does. He's the only guy who knows how to irrigate this field properly. There's nobody in town who knows this kunst, knows the chav, how to do it properly. Is it also, is it mutter? So according to the Shulchan Aruch, according to the Machanirim, the Rishonim, it's also. Because there's no heter of davar avid for an avil, ayyad atzmo, ever. Kach tiktu chachamim, that the ism alacha for an avil is more chomer than the ism alacha for chalamayid, and there never ever was a heter of davar avid, ayyad atzmo, and said, you can't get someone else to do it, tough luck. Comes the Ramon, says no, comes the Ramon, possibly like Shumin Amlil, like those Tanoim, like those Rishonim who say, the only reason why normally we insist on Ayyadei Acherim is because the option exists. But if the option doesn't exist, then we fall back to the regular halacha. What's the regular halacha? The regular halacha is that the Rav is mutar for an Aval, it's mutar for a Cholamayit. So the Maisa, what's the din? So under normal circumstances, we insist that an Aval does Malacha Ayyadei Acherim if it's the Rav. But that's not an option, so then the Ramon is going to be making that also. So a couple of them, we have a heter of davar aved, at least Ayyadei Acherim on Hilchus Aveilos, and probably the definition of davar aved is the same as it is in terms of Hilchus Chalamayit. That's what's generally assumed.
But confidence was far less because there's an option. The fact that there's an option on Chalamayit to tell a greater to, is that a good consideration?
So Parashas is not a consideration because even the Talagoy is called Malachas Chalamayit, means there's an issue of Miriyachim Chalamayit in Hilchus Aveilos. The option is to do it there, Cheter Gomer, because the other guy's not an Ovel. So L'chora, that option, telling a guy, probably isn't called an option in terms of Hilchus Chalamayit, because B'lav Hachid is going to be an Isser involved.
Why can't you look at it almost like a Cheter Gavra type of thing? Avelos is strictly a Gavra type of Isser. It has nothing to do with the Metzius of the Yom or the Metzius of the
Eidah. Right, right, Rami, that's true. Right, Rami.
Well, the Hilchus Chalamayit is not necessarily so, because it's not really a Gavra issue.
Right, it means there's something that the Kedusha say, oh, well, that's true. I mean, but the question is, would that difference necessarily reflect itself in this particular halacha?
Well, it manifests itself with the side that says it's mutter. It's because that's usher, it's because the Gavra is usher. You can't really remove from the Gavra the Issa of, by a day, Acherim. Because
that's the Ramo seems to be saying. The Ramo seems to be saying that fundamentally, really, davar aved is mutar for an aval. It's just that you have the options, and mainly you have to exercise the option. So l'chora, let's take that shaya that we just spent a few minutes talking about the guy with the factory, and take it out of the realm of Hilchus Chalamayit and put it into the realm of Avelos. The guy never chachmanos, a guy sitting shiva, he's got this factory, he's got a business going. It's going to cost him a lot of money to close down the business for a week. He's not going to be able to tell the workers to take unpaid vacation. He's going to have to give him a week of paid vacation. So what's that halacha? Is he allowed to keep the factory? Is he allowed to keep the business rolling during the whole week of shiva because of the consideration of davar aved? So l'chora is now going to depend. According to the Aruch HaShulchan and according to Rabbi Moshe, who say that keeping factories going, paying workers, does qualify as davar aved, so the answer is yes. It's a davar aved in Hilchus Chalamayit. It's a davar aved in Hilchus Aveilos. Show myself. So it's a davar aved. The guy can keep his business. If you hold like the Shari Tshuva, that the halacha is davar aved has to be an intrinsic, an internal davar aved. Whenever it's a tangential davar aved, that's not called davar aved. So l'chora, that's part of the very definition of davar aved, and the definition of davar aved is the same luchos aveilos as it is in chol hamoed. That all the rishonim assume like that. So according to the Shari Tshuva's objection to keeping the sakhti open in luchos chol hamoed, that objection will carry over to hilchos aveilos as well. But here, as Dr. Dalzan I think says correctly, according to Shlomo Zalman, perhaps we can distinguish between chol hamoed and hilchos aveilos. Why is that? What was Rishlomo Zalman's taina? What was his objection to treating the keeping the business open as a davar aved? He said that's a planned expense. That's when you tally up on January 1st what your expenses are going to be. So part of your expenses are to pay electricity, to pay the heat, and to pay your workers for your religious considerations. So you know there are 4 days of Chol HaMoed Pesach and 4 days of Chol HaMoed Sukkot. So you know 5 days, you know how many days in advance. So you have to make a cheshbon. That's part of your yearly expenses. That you can't turn around and cry davar aved. When it's a planned expense, we hope the person stops spending anything shiva during the course of the year. So you can't have come to with a tiny to the guy on January 1st. How come you didn't tally up that you're going to be sitting shiva for 7 days this year? So obviously, that's not considered to be a planned expense. That's not an emergency. That wasn't a planned emergency. That was a real emergency. It means the guy was planning on being able to keep open the whole year. Never some relative of his dies, so he's got to close the business. So he's going to close the business. It's going to cost the money. That's called a davar aved. So even if Shlomo Zalman would concede that would be mutter. So if any is daiti, even if Shlomo Zalman's objection, Hilchos Chol HaMoed, wouldn't carry over Hilchos Aveilos. But the Shari Tshuva's objection, that it has to be intrinsic, not external, not tangential. So lechora, that would be, then we would have to equate that consideration, that objection, between Hilchos Aveilos and Hilchos Chol HaMoed. And what about settles, there seem to be three shittas in the Gedalia Poskim. Now, this is very, very common shaila. The Shari Tshuva's achronim were machmel legamre ben b'avelos ben b'chalamoid, and Rav Shlomo Zalman seems to be mekel on avelos, even though he's machmel chalamoid. And again, this would be an example of a davar aved idei acherim. The guy's not himself coming to work. He's not coming to the factory. He has his workers, his polem working for him. So that's the davar aved idei acherim, which, if it meets the criteria of davar aved, would be mutter for an avel as well.
The common practice is to sell the business.
Oh, that's a different story right now. That's a minhag that existed in Europe. Some sefer writes in the Shuvas that the ovel was, if an ovel had a shutzis, if an ovel had a partnership, so he would sell it to the partner. Even if he didn't have a partnership, he would sell it to a neighbor in order to quote unquote business as usual. So the Chassam Sofer had a lot of issues with that minhag. The Chassam Sofer writes the minhag used to be that people would sell the as they were going to Leviathan. The relative would die, and the relative would cost them a whole week to keep open, so the Chassam Sofer, to keep closed. So the Chassam Sofer says that people would sell the business while they were owning him. So the Chassam Sofer says he thinks that's a terrible aveira. He says, why? He says that Onin's not allowed to do anything. It's not relevant for the Kvura. Onin's, he has a lotion, he says, Anias Amen lo hitirlo, but Mechiras Charasa hitirlo. So the Onin is not allowed to answer Amen to a bracha because he's not allowed to get distracted from dealing with the mace. So here he goes and he enters into a multi-million-dollar deal while he's in Onin. It's a joke. How can that be? So Chassam Sofer thought that it was not appropriate. And then he says, as we all know, it's a chut lula. He says it's only considered to be Mechira if the guy doesn't take profits. But if the Onin, the Oval is going to take the whole week's profits anyway. So I don't want to use the phrase, like a mechiras chametz, because the guy who sells the chametz and his business is open, so we know already. That's a big question about the whole discussion.
Right.
So the Chassam Sofer writes that he thinks that the reason why the Rabbanim in Europe used to turn the other way to this practice, he writes, is that not that they really condone this practice, but he says he's suggesting that the Rabbanim felt that it's going to be worse if they don't condone this practice, if they don't accept this practice. Why? What's going to happen? So he says, the guy's not going to sell his business. So then after 1 or 2 days, he's going to come crying, it's a chadavar aved, it's a this, and the aved himself is going to go to the factory, go to the business. So he said, the chachamim, that's his lashon, he says, the chachamim in Europe felt that it's mir hara, that it's better to permit them to do this finagling of a selling rather than telling them what the real halacha is, to keep the business open, to keep the business closed, because they'll end up opening it anyway, they'll come and kvetching it, In 10 minutes from now, that's a real davar aved, it's going to be a bigger mikshal. So it's shvachet kula. The only thing that Chassam Sofer does concede is okay. He says if a person sells the business before he becomes an avel, that means before he became an oinein, before the relative. So he says that he thought that was a little bit less of a it was less of a bitl of yaninus, number one. And number two, he says the only things that make sense if you sell it to someone who's really a business partner with you. Because then, okay, then you can argue that that's a little bit more realistic. The guy just pulls in some Tom, Dick, Harry off the street and says, okay, I'm about to sell you my $10 billion business for the next week. So we thought that's the person, right. Yeah, it's not the most pleasant thing to think of. A person is a relative, you're hoping the relative is going to survive, and meanwhile, the guy's involved in some business negotiations. Right. Yeah, yeah. It's a funny practice, then, but the practice did exist in Europe.
I'm a relative, and that's Moshe Lev Shuchel.
Yeah.
That had a pharmacy.
Yeah.
And when it was in Avelut, he sold it. Because he felt that the pharmacy cannot close. I mean,
it could be he didn't even have to sell it. It could be because Tzachi Rabin.
And then Bio refused to give it back. And he said he covered in it all, and he started another pharmacy.
Well.
Didn't sell books.
Throughout. Lefini is right. I'm not sure you have to sell a pharmacy, because the pharmacy is Mamash Tzachi Rabin. So Tzachi Rabin, if that's the only pharmacy in town. There is an interesting shayla that the Gedolei HaPoskim have. Assuming it is okay, assuming you can pull off the stud, you can keep your business open based on the Davar Avi consideration. What if the workers, these Polim you have to pay, themselves are Jewish? So comes with Yaakov Kamenetsky, and he's quoted also in that sefer, another Chol HaMoed, and he says, wait a second. He says, listen to this game over here. I have a factory. I want to keep the factory open because it's Davar Avi, because after all, I can't afford to pay the workers and keep the factory closed. But I'm paying guys who themselves are not supposed to be in the factory. They're supposed to be sitting in shul. They're supposed to be taking their kids to Adventureland. They're supposed to be sitting and learning all day. They're not supposed to be coming to work. So comes, Rav Yaakov says, this is the catch 22. I'm calling Nebuch. I'm the innocent victim. I'm the victim of a Davar Avi. The guys who I'm paying are not supposed to be here in the first place. So says Rav Yaakov, if I keep the factory open and I wink to the workers and I say, okay, you guys come and tell me that you want to get paid, and I'll tell you, okay, Nebuch, what can I do? I got to keep the factory open. So Rav Yaakov, you know what? They're in violation of working on Chol HaMoed, and I'm in violation of Lifnei Iver. He said, Lifnei Iver, I'm keeping my factory open to enable them to work. I should tell them to go home, and I should decide with them where they should get paid. I can pay. That's my cheshire with them. There's nothing to do with Hilton's Chol HaMoed. Hilton's Chol HaMoed is b'chayev them not to come to work, and it's b'chayev me to close their factory. So what kind of game is this that I'm going to keep the factory open because they want to come to work? So Rav Moshe seems to say, even that works. Even by Jews it works. I mean, Rav Moshe looks at it from the vantage point of the owner of the factory. That's it. Yosha dictates, either Yosha or legal dictates, I have to pay these guys. And after all, my incentive is I got to keep my factory closed. So I'm going to have to pay these guys no matter what, whether the factory is open, the factory is closed. Now the truth is that from their vantage point, they have an issue malacha, but says Rav Moshe, yeah, but they're coming to work, catch this one, to prevent me from suffering a davar avei. Now the halacha is, let's say if I see your field is getting ruined, and you have to have the field irrigated, so I can go and step to the plate and irrigate the field. The heter of davar avei is not only for the bialim himself, it's Hashem Zaredes, it's Pasha. If I see that you're experiencing a loss, so that's also called the davar avei. So comes Rav Moshe, strange davar avei, that it's a davar avei for me because I have to keep my factory open because Nebuch, I can't give the guys paid vacation. I can't afford because I'm gonna lose money by doing that. So I have to keep the factory open to offset my cost of paid vacation for the workers. The workers can turn around and say, guess what? We'd really love not to work. Out of the goodness of our heart, we'd love to sit at home and stay home with our kids. But we have to prevent Reuben from suffering a loss because we're big tzaddikim. Here the workers are, we're big tzaddikim. We really care about the owner of the factory because if we don't come to work, it's going to cost him that he's going to have to pay us for not working, which is going to be a davar avei. So Moshe says, it's davar avei for the owner, and it's davar avei for the workers. So everything is mutter. Strange kula.
Why will
Kirchhoff present
a
question?
What?
I wish I had such quiet. Yeah. So again, the whole machlokes of Moshe Rav Yaakov is only the Jewish workers. If they're not Jewish workers, even Rav Yaakov concedes that, of course, you're allowed to keep it open. Rav Yaakov agreed basically to that, but he just had it limited to that when it comes to Jewish Poland. So again, we have four or five different permutations in the Poskim as to how this plays out. It's a very, very common application in terms of the Chol HaMoed, how this plays out. So according to the Aruch HaShulchan, the whole thing is a moot question because it's a tangential Davar Avei, which doesn't qualify in the ballpark of Davar Avei, neither the Chol HaMoed nor the Chol HaMoed. According to Rav Shlomo Zalman, it in theory could be Davar Avei, But the problem is, if it's a planned expense such as chalamoy, then it falls short. But that's where it doesn't carry over to hilchos avelos. And then you have assuming that this is a good kul, assuming that this heter is really good, like for baishla for shulchan. So then, can we play this game when you have Jewish workers also? So Yaakov thought the buck stops here, literally. And someone's got to take the loss over here. Where the according to Rabbi Yishai, no one has to take the loss. For me, it's a davar avodah. For you, it's a davar avodah.
The Jewish poor. Doesn't want to come to work. He says, I'm forgiving you.
That's forgiving with pay without pay. What do you mean the business will suffer?
This is an enterprise that they have to be sitting on the customer.
Yeah, also that's a whole different thing. That's another angle of Davar Avodah. So is loss of customers qualifies as Davar Avodah? So I think we spoke about this a little bit before the summer. No, it's not. It's coming up. That's a big machlokes in the Rishonim. We generally assume the Rush as a customer. The Rush writes, in the olden days, so the Jews used to be money lenders. That was the only job that they were able to. They couldn't own businesses and they couldn't own land, so they had not much to do. So they couldn't be craftsmen. So they used to be money lenders. So the Rush writes, what's the deal? A lot of money lenders on Cholamoyed. So some Rishonim held that it's talmid mutar. That's not called malacha. That's bechlal, not even chayr. That's nothing. Just some handing bills back and forth. That's garnish. And other Rishonim say no. That's called malacha. That's called the schor on chalamoyd. That's business on chalamoyd. Even if there's no malacha involved, that would be a problem. So the Rush is a compromise. The Rush writes, he thinks that basically money lending should be asur on chalamoyd. However, if it's a type of a situation that I'm afraid I'm going to lose a customer, it means I have a non-Jew who comes to me to buy money all the time to ribbis. He always comes to buy money with interest. And now if I'm going to tell him for a week to go find somebody else to buy money from, we'll find a better rate, we'll find somebody else, he won't bother coming to me anymore.
The only bar from Jews.
Right. But the problem is, says the Rosh, is that even though I'm paskining for my balabatim, he's not allowed money lend, there's another rabbi in town that's paskining that's Muslim money lend. So he's going to go, the other money lender, the other Yankel Shmuel is going to go find a maker, he's going to find a matir, he'll dig up a cooler that is mutter, and then all the grain are going to go to him on Chalamayit, and they're not going to want to come back to me after Chalamayit. So the Rosh writes that loss of customers also constitutes a davar of it. That's an important school here also. So that may depend on the nature of what the business of the factory is.
I'm asking a shopper, Jim Kareem, who is a nice Jew, and he says, I forego the pay, and I don't want to work on Chalamayit. Can the owner of the business say to him, you're creating a tremendous loss, and you hire to work on Chalamayit?
So if that's true, if you hold like this Rush, that loss of customers is qualifies as a davar avodah, which we basically do accept. There are some who say that the Rush only said a legabi schor, not legabi malacha mamish, but Ramesh was making a legamri. Ramesh was making that the factory could stay open on chalamayit, even if it's not a question of paying the workers, it could stay open if it has to produce X amount, and if it doesn't produce it, so then it's going to lose customers. So if all that is true, so then there's something to discuss in terms of that also qualifying as a davar avodah. And then, if that qualifies as a davar avodah, they could turn around and force the worker to come. Okay, tell the worker, listen, davar avodah is not just for me, it's for you. You have to prevent my davar avodah also. So if all that is true. But there are some achronim who say that cool of the Rush was only truly going to be non-malachah, because the context of the Rush was about halvos. So some say the Rush only relied on that svara in the case of money lending, which anyway according to some Rishonim is mutter, because it's not real malacha anyway. But would we therefore extrapolate and extend that kul to real malacha? So that's a big question. Rishonim seem to make on that. Others have a question about that. Okay.
Was some years ago, there was a New York caterer who was once big, was smaller, took retail orders for Pesach, and did it every year. And